course, getting the start, the first time the Flames are going to start a goaltender in two consecutive games this season against the Nashville Predators on Friday. Is he now the number one guy? Do you give him, you know, two or three, four starts? Or are you still kind of take it game by game with the Flames right now? Are you ready to make Jonas Hiller that number one guy?
No, I don't think he's the number one guy. I think he's the guy playing best right now, and I think you're riding the guy who's on an incredible roll right now. That to me is what it is. And so it still is a game by game thing. It's still a situational thing. So no, I don't think that we're talking about him taking over and being named the number one goaltender. I think we're a ways away from that. But I do agree with the call to go to Jonas Hiller on a Friday night, because he's playing too well not to go back to him. He's in one heck of a groove right now, and I think that you have to exploit that. So, yeah, I don't think he's the number one. I just think that he's the guy they're going to roll with for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to roll with him right now and give him some time to give him a few games under his belt, see how he handles playing, you know, two, maybe three or four games in a row. I mean, the game after Friday is against the Montreal Canadiens again in Montreal, so that's one you probably want Jonas Hiller to go in there as well. The question number three, the next opponent for the Flames is the Nashville Predators. Just a question about them. They're 5-1-2 this year, just one regulation loss. Only the LA Kings and the other team that only has one regulation loss so far this season. Are the Nashville Predators a team that you think is for real and could be a Central Division contender, I guess, so to speak?
I still think the Predators are where I thought they were during the off season. I think they're a team that is going to be a difficult out. I don't think they're going to make life easy on anybody, but I think they, talent-wise, fall a little bit short when it comes to the playoffs. And I think they can be in the mix. I think they can be competitive. I think they can be within striking distance for a good majority of the season. But I don't think they're the best team in the Central. I don't think that's sustainable. But I do think that, yeah, they made improvements. They got better this season. And they're off to a very nice start. But no, I don't see them as a contender. I don't even see them as a playoff team myself. I do like the start they're off to. It's kind of nice to see. And it's an interesting story to begin with. And Pekka Rinne coming back and being healthy to start the season turns them into a completely different group.
Yeah, I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit, especially in that Central Division.
Yeah, I do too.
With Chicago, St. Louis, the way Dallas is going right now, even Minnesota, their team I think is going to surpass Nashville at some point. So I do think they come back down to earth. But that is your three burning questions for today.
We have got lots to get to as the big show continues on a Wednesday afternoon from the Scotiabank Saddledome. We know who's starting in net Friday for the Flames. It ain't the gentleman that would make sense if the alternating system was going to continue, because if we were alternating, it'd be Kari Ramo's game on Friday, but instead they're going to go back to Jonas Hiller, which I believe is the right call. We'll see if Robbie feels the same way as we move along throughout the program. Hour 2 starts in just a few minutes here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home for the Flames, Hitmen, Blue Jays, and more. Get your play-by-play right here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary's team.
Verify, ready to go for one.
Canada's team. Ignition. Sportsnet 960 The Fan brings you every game all season with our play-by-play team of Derek Wills and Peter Loubardius.
Halloween hockey on Friday night. Flames and Predators pregame with Pat Steinberg goes at 6. Play-by-play goes at 7 with Derek and Lubo. Flames in Nashville right here.
On air every time the Flames hit the ice. This is Calgary Flames Radio. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you by Country Hills Toyota Scion and Calgary Lock and Safe.
The Air Miles Reward Program has landed at Sobeys Liquor Stores.
What's on sale this week?
Listen to Betty.
Save $6 on Wolf Blass Wine. Select varieties this week, just $9.99. Save $7 on Iceberg Vodka, now just $18.99. Plus, earn 8 Air Miles with purchase. This week, an 8-pack of Kokanee cans is only $11.99. And every day, save 10% when you buy 6 or more wines. See in store for details.
Only at Sobeys Liquor Stores.
Seeking a new path? A road reserved for the discerning? Reward your curiosity during the Lincoln Open Door event. Explore our premium utility vehicles, the MKX and our first ever MKC, both with all-wheel drive. and the MKZ or MKZ hybrid sedan, both available for the same price. Then reward yourself further with exceptional lease rates on select Lincoln models. Plus, until October 31st, your first payment is on us. The Lincoln Open Door event ends soon. Some conditions apply. For details, visit LincolnCanada.com.
Sportsnet 960 listeners win free stuff. Flames, Hitman, Roughnecks, and Stampeder tickets and more. Fan Club members get to enter to win some really neat prizes. If you're not a Fan Club member, you should be. If you are, keep collecting points. The secret seats come your way at 7:25, 9:25 a.m. and 1:25, 4:25, and 9:25 p.m. weekdays. Get the seat number, enter, and collect points. Use those points to enter to win some really, really great prizes just for being a listener to Sportsnet 960. Brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Watch every CFL and NFL game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Sportsnet 960.
Check out the Fan Club for your chance to win awesome prizes. This week, Fan Club members can earn even more points with an exclusive online bonus code with Executive Suites by Roseman. Win now at sportsnet.ca/960. Want to know how you can score some great stuff from Sportsnet 960? Sign up to become a Fan Club member now. Your chance to score tickets for the biggest games, hottest concerts, and some awesome prizes.
This is CFAC 960 AM. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. From Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Communications. We are Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I'm really encouraged by the way we play. We're starting to see the pace that we had last year after Christmas, and that's what we want to create. That's who we want to be. That's part of our culture, our identity, and we're getting there. Like our guys are working through the wall, and they're on the job, and I'm proud of them. I feel a part of me. They would have deserved better, but it's going to be for another night.
Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You know, there's nothing worse, isn't there, in the game of hockey, or any game, I guess, in sports, than thinking you might have played your best game, but not coming away with the 2 points. And that's where the Calgary Flames find themselves here this morning. What a hockey game last night, just from a pure entertainment standpoint. Boy. If you were at the Dome or you were listening or you were watching, hard to think that, an October hockey game could give you a little bit more than what this game gave you. Maybe more goals, I get that. But there was some really great action. There was some fantastic goaltending. You saw some great individual performances. I thought Johnny Gaudreau had a breakout second period. I thought that there was an intensity between these two teams. We talked about it with the Washington Capitals. There just doesn't seem to be that same kind of fire and brimstone sometimes when you play the Oilers, but here come the Montreal Canadiens, and it had some drama to it. But in the end, it was Carey Price doing something he had never done before. Carey Price winning a game in Alberta, 2-1 in a shootout. Heck of a hockey game, but it came at a cost. The Calgary Flames losing two players, Joe Colburn with an upper body injury and Matt Stajan with a lower body injury. We are hoping, efforting, as we say in the business, to try and get you more information on the status of both of those players later on this afternoon. I did hear from Bob Hartley this morning. He had no update other than say that the Flames hopefully would have something either today or tomorrow on those players. Anticipation is they'll probably have to bring somebody up. They do have two healthy bodies on the side. They did get David Jones back in the lineup. I thought he was okay last night. But Pat, as we play the clip from Bob Hartley coming in, really happy, and the team's playing well. But those are the ones that hurt. When you play a really good game, a really entertaining game, a fun game, but you don't get the full 2 points, that one stings a bit.
It's the complete opposite of what happened 14 days ago in Chicago. The Flames didn't deserve to get 2 points in Chicago. They did because they got Jonas Hiller, who stole them a hockey game.
Yep.
That's Carey Price stole the Montreal Canadiens a hockey game last night.
He was great last night.
And the first period was a nice, evenly played brand of hockey. I thought Calgary was really good in the first. I thought Montreal was true to what they are in the first. And whether it was the product of playing the second half of back-to-backs, whether it was the Flames just wearing them down, whatever it was,
right,
Calgary took over. And that 10-minute stretch to start the second period, the best hockey we've seen Calgary play all year long, bar none, regardless of how many scoring opportunities they got, regardless of the fact they scored that goal that Mark Giordano did. And what I liked is that even though that was their best stretch of hockey, they played a pretty solid 60-minute game. In fact, you take a look at the scoring chance numbers that they publish on Flames Nation, there were more scoring chances in the third period for the Flames than there were in the second period. Calgary played a really strong game last night, and there were some really promising individual performances. As ominous and frustrating as the Colburn and Stajan injuries are to be added to Mason Raymond. Fact that I thought Curtis Glencross was the best player on the ice for either team, not named Carey Price. I thought Glencross was out of his mind last night. I thought that he and Stajan were really good together. That line of Backlund, Goudreau, and Byron was strong all night. Goudreau was extremely dangerous. I thought there were a lot of really good individual performances. The top pairing again was ridiculously good. There were just some really encouraging signs from the Flames last night. Just unfortunately, they lose in a shootout because they run into a guy who was as zoned in as he can be. And when he's zoned in, doesn't matter who you are, you're probably not beating him very often.
This country has benefited from him being zoned in. I mean, it was only about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, you and I were having a conversation on this very radio station about who, at the moment, in that moment in time, was the best goaltender in the world. Carey Price or Henrik Lundqvist. And then, of course, I believe the next day, Carey Price got hurt. It was very close after that. To me, it comes down to three power plays in the final 7:28 of that hockey game. You know, without Mason Raymond, without Joe Colburn, say what you will, this is not a deep offensive team. They could have used both of those bodies. They had opportunities. They couldn't beat Carey Price. You go to the shootout, you roll the dice, you lose in the shootout. This isn't a hang-your-head type of loss. I want to go back to the second period. And what a dominant shift Johnny Goudreau had that set the table for Mark Giordano's goal. He just showed me something in terms of retrieving pucks and staying on guys and turning pucks over in the offensive zone. What is funny about that is the puck eventually got out. And I don't know from your perspective, but certainly from my side, I thought, well, okay, now you make the line change. He didn't make the line change. He stays out there. He makes a beautiful pass, and Giordano makes it 1-0. That was only part of it. I thought Johnny Gaudreau without Paul Byron, there were times where, again, turning pucks over. Calgary just in the right place, right time. Really like the compete level. Interesting you bring up Curtis Glencross. Very, very noticeable. I thought a guy we talked about yesterday about being a bunch of ifs. I thought David Jones's return to the lineup was pretty good. He was noticeable to me in terms of going to the front of the net. A lot of bumps. Did you notice that? A lot of bumps on Carey Price last night. The Flames got a lot of traffic, which they did not get at all on Holtby on Saturday night.
Yeah, they were around them, and they got called on one penalty because of it.
Yep.
Yeah, they certainly took the puck to where they wanted to take it with some pretty nice authority and pretty good regularity last night. I didn't mind Jones at all. I thought that was the type of return he'd probably want. It was funny. He joined us in the postgame show last night, and I asked him, could you have done anything more to beat Carey Price? He said, he was pretty quick on it. I was pretty impressed. Like, well, I missed the net on a breakaway in the third period, so I could have done more. But I thought that he had a pretty good return to the lineup after missing eight. And I thought that Calgary did what they wanted to do 5-on-5 for most of the game. And even though they go 0-for-7 on the power play, they still got some pretty nice pressure on the man advantage too. So I just thought their all-round game was as close to where they wanted to be for 60 minutes as we've seen, in this case 65 minutes, as we've seen all year long. Because, you know, the defense were, they were jumping up on the play. How many times did we see Brody in as the third man on a rush? And he gave them more offense. And now with Colburn out for who knows how long, and Stajan out for who knows how long, and Mason Raymond out for a little while, Brody's going to need to be even more of the offense. They're going to count on their blue line even more than they already have. And who scored the only goal last night? A defenseman in Mark Giordano. But I just thought that it was a really solid night for the Flames, and I don't think there was much else they could have done to beat Carey Price.
No, and fun game. Like, fun game.
Sure, absolutely.
For a Tuesday night to have the building that loud and to have, I mean, that's, you know, say what you will, but the Canadiens fans make it, right? The Canadiens fans come in and they battle the Flames fans, and the Flames fans get engaged. And it's just to me, it, you know, I hate to say it, but almost, not dreading, But you kind of know there's a little letdown coming on Friday when Nashville comes to town, right? You know, the fans are good here. I wouldn't take anything away from them. But when you're getting pushed, you know, by the Canadian fans like you were, it was a different environment. For a Tuesday night hockey game, it rocked.
Yeah, and I, that's kind of what we were saying last night. I asked, I was like, because Derek was, you know, right, it was his first time calling a Flames-Habs game here. And
was he so excited?
Yeah, he was somewhat excited. Huh. So I'm like, are you ready for the letdown on Friday? He's like, it's not going to be a letdown. I'm like, yeah, I don't think the Nashville Predators bring the same type of atmosphere. I don't think the traveling Preds fans are going to be here an hour before chanting and cheering. And
no.
There's not going to be a huge round of applause when they step on the ice prior to the game. It is going to be a letdown atmosphere-wise. You can't help it because I don't think we're getting a better atmosphere at the Dome all year than what we saw last night against Montreal.
No, the Crisp family will be here. Terry Crisp's kids will be here. They'll have their Nashville jerseys on.
Yeah, and, you know, there might be a couple of Shea Weber fans.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
be like the one guy standing up and clapping when they score.
Any idea? And I know we'll hear from David Jones later on, and he took umbrage with the point, but I think we agreed to afterwards that there's something about the last two games that I don't know what it is about these Eastern Conference teams, but there seemed to be a little edge to them. Maybe not the physical bruising games that you get with L.A. or Anaheim or whatever, but there was a lot of extracurricular. There was a lot of, you know, just seemed like the shots were a little stiffer. I mean, the captain, Giordano, had three minors in this game. He was engaged, Pat. He was right into it, as were the Canadians. You know, take nothing. I know there's a lot of attention to Carey Price. But, you know, P.K. Subban's a lot to watch. He's so much fun out there and getting things done.
I like Galchenyuk
a lot. And Gallagher. I mean, you notice him every time he's out there. They're a lot of fun to watch. But any want to pose any kind of theory on why even Washington, there just seemed to be a little more edge to the game than maybe we've seen even some of these Western Conference games?
Well, I think the way the Flames play, I think it just kind of maybe lends itself to a more chippy game. Chippy's not even the right word. It just lends itself to a more hard game because the Flames play hard.
Yeah.
From there on, they forecheck hard, they finish checks, they play to the whistle, and sometimes, you know, I don't think teams take umbrage with it, but it kind of gets them doing the same thing. And so when you have that going on, I think it leads to things after the whistle. I think it leads to some big hits. And I mean, there were some nice little tussles last night.
There were.
And I thought, like, the whole Giordano Plekanec thing, I mean, that might be the only time Gio gets unhinged this year and takes a dumb penalty. But, you know, Plekanec baited him into it, hit him clean. Gio didn't like it. And then Plekanec baits him into a shot in the face. And then, you know, Montreal gets unhinged. PK was doing things that were a little, you know, he probably would have liked to rein in the cross check to Dennis Weidman right in front of the net when they just finished killing off a penalty.
I didn't get that.
No,
like,
me neither.
I didn't get that.
Me neither. So it was a really fun game in so many different ways. And even though it wasn't the most evenly played game, because Calgary did kind of carry things, I would say, for 50, 60, 65% of that game, it was still really fun to be a part of. And, yeah, the crowd made it. And I think the players fed off the crowd. The crowd fed off the game. And it was just a really fun atmosphere to be a part of.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed the game last night. Like I say, there was, what are we watching? Let me ask you, because what are we watching with Johnny Gaudreau? I think what we're seeing is Johnny Gaudreau throughout his NHL career, which is something gets thrown in front of him and he overcomes the obstacle. We're talking about a player 10 days ago, you know, Eric Francis, and I'm not saying this to throw Eric Francis under the bus or anything, but Eric Francis wrote in the Calgary Sun that, you know, time for Johnny Gaudreau to go to the American Hockey League. And I think a lot of us were on that same page. Got sat out, and, well, you're shaking your head.
Were you ever on that same page?
I said all along in the summertime I thought he was going there. Then he impressed me in the preseason, and I thought he deserved to be here. What I saw when they sat him, okay, if you're going to send him down, I get it. I understand why he's going down. I'm not saying all of us, Pat. I'm just saying there was a lot of people that were thinking that. Eric wrote it. There was a lot of people talking about it. I remember that broadcast from Winnipeg. They were seemingly convinced that as soon as that plane touched down in Calgary, he was getting shipped to Glens Falls. Gets the goal, gets the assist. And to me, it's the epitome of Johnny Gaudreau's career. Something gets in front of him. Didn't make the World Juniors the first year. Then he makes it the next year and impacts it. I thought he was impactful last night. I think he's been impactful for the last week. I think we're beginning to see what this kid is capable of.
I think we're seeing progression, and that's why.
Yeah.
That's why I never thought that. You know, I shook my head because I'm like, it never even entered my mind that the American League was the place for him at this point. And because I always understood that at some point that might happen, but from the body of work that I had seen when Eric did, that was while they were on the road, when Eric wrote
that
article.
That was just after the Chicago game.
And from the body of work I had seen in the very early stages at that point, nothing had shown me that the American League was the best place for him, because I thought he was progressing.
Yeah.
He was helping the team. He was creating on a nightly basis. And was he playing a ton? Was he as impactful as he had been at Boston College or in Penticton? No. But I still thought that we were seeing signs of progression. And I think that's what we've seen throughout. He's getting more confident. He's learning better spots to put himself in. And he's just getting more in tune with what he needs to do at the National Hockey League level. And I think that he's going to be even better in a month's time, because confidence and less hesitation and all of that stuff are going to come into
it. I don't disagree with that. What I would say to you is that after the Chicago game, what I think the thing that triggered it for me, and why I'm willing to, was at the time, or am, I guess I'll still have the conversation, why I was willing to engage in that conversation wasn't being used in 4-on-4. And to me, he's the perfect 4-on-4 player. So if he's not being used in 4-on-4, that's clearly because the coaching staff at that point doesn't feel he's ready. You can call it trust. You can call it whatever you will. It's part of the development curve. Sits a game, which is a natural thing. Lots of players have done it. TJ Brody did it. He sat the first game of the lockout shortened season and never looked back since then. And that seems to be almost the thing that's happened here. So I do reference it. I think it was possibility. People were talking about it. But right now I'm watching a young man who, quite honestly, with the injuries this team has, they need him. They need him. They need him to be the guy he's
certainly
being right
do.
Now. Right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And now you could be without potentially three regular forwards here for who knows how long. We don't know what Colburn's status is. Staging from everything I'm hearing and from, you know, kind of the people I've spoken to over the last little bit, doesn't sound like we're talking about any time soon. We could be talking about a longer term thing for Staging and Mason Raymond's week to week, which means, you know, at least another week or more that he's going to be out. So for the time being, three regular forwards could be out of your lineup. Yeah, Goudreau needs to be here. He's one of the guys who's helping this team create offense, and they need it right now. And that they need Curtis Glencross to keep playing well. They need David Jones to play like he did last night. They need the guys who are healthy to be kind of what we saw from them yesterday.
Jones can't be a one-off.
No,
right.
No, that's got to be more of, you know, he took the puck hard to the net. He played physical. He added some speed to the lineup. That's the David Jones that this team needs to see. I thought he was pretty decent for his first game back, and that now needs to be something we see on a regular basis. The problem for Jones is that we haven't seen that on a regular basis in his stint with the Flames to this point.
We'll hear from David Jones later on in the 5 o'clock hour on Inside Hockey. Let's take a break, Pat. When we come back, I want to talk about the injuries. And there is an injury that we're not talking about that worries me. And I want to get to that as well. Pat mentioned it. We're going to be in Red Deer this weekend, Rogers Hometown Hockey Tour, from noon to 4 o'clock in Red Deer. Just come find the Hometown Hockey. Just roll down your window and listen. You'll hear us. And the food trucks. Follow the food trucks.
Yeah, follow
Pat.
I don't know what food trucks are going to be there.
Or.
But they advertise food trucks. So they damn
well
better
be food trucks. Or Pat Steinberg is going home. HometownHockey.com. Get all the details. We'll come back and talk about injuries with the Calgary Flames next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
If it's on the 200 by 85, it's right here first. Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Catch all the action of the Calgary Flames live from the Dome without breaking the bank. You work hard for your money. SportCheck has a great deal for you. SportCheck's own tickets are available at Calgary SportCheck stores for only $30, including tax and service charges. These are the cheapest Flames tickets available anywhere. Same price for all home games. Pittsburgh, Boston, New Year's Eve, all $30. Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary Flames Radio.
Hey, Calgary, you want to know why we keep calling it Sunday? Because the the Calgary Sun still gets delivered on Sunday. While the other guys don't publish every day, at the Calgary Sun, we don't stop the presses. As Calgary's only daily newspaper, we keep delivering all the news, sports, and entertainment 7 days a week. Right now, get the Sunday Sun for 40 Sundays for only $20. Head to calgarysun.com/Sunday40. That's calgarysun.com/Sunday40 and order today. The Calgary Sun, everywhere, every day.
At Chevrolet, we believe it's important to find the good in goodbye. That's why we're having a farewell celebration for all our 2014 vehicles at Chevrolet's Canada-wide clearance event. Until October 31st, all 2014 vehicles are priced to go. That means 0% financing for 84 months on select models, including Silverado, Cruze, Equinox, and Camaro, but only while quantities last. So don't wait. Say goodbye to your old vehicle and hello to your new Chevrolet. Offer ends October 31st. Visit AlbertaChevrolet.com for details.
It's a sale like no other. At the Driving Force Fleet Clearance Sale, our own certified used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs go on sale. Maintained and reconditioned to the highest standards, with a minimum 50% left on all brakes and a minimum 60% on all tires. Backed by our 3-month, 5,000-kilometer warranty and our exclusive 30-day trial. Bring us your trade-in. Get on-site financing. It's the Fleet Clearance Sale on now at Driving Force. Corner of 23rd Avenue and Bartle Trail Northeast, or online at drivingforce.ca.
The Air Miles Reward Program has landed at Sobeys Liquor Stores.
What's on sale this week?
Listen to Betty.
Save $6 on Wolf Blass Wines. Select varieties this week, just $9.99. Save $7 on Iceberg Vodka, now just $18.99. Plus, earn 8 Air Miles with purchase. This week, an 8-pack of Kokanee cans is only $11.99. And every day, save 10% when you buy 6 or more wines. See in store for details.
Only at Sobeys Liquor Stores.
So 6,000 people were surveyed. The results were clear. Visions Electronics is the destination of choice for experienced consumers who want to replace and upgrade their electronics. The survey also concluded Visions has the products consumers want in stock and the staff know their stuff. Seems to me that if more first-time buyers shopped at Visions, they'd be less replacing and upgrading. Get it right the first time, 365 days a year. Visions Electronics. The better price, the wider choice, the smarter advice.
Hi, Mark Messier here with the Cameron family, who share a love of hockey. They have a Share Everything plan with Rogers so they can watch Rogers NHL Game Center live from anywhere.
That's right. Jenny watches on her smartphone at the cafe, Jimmy at the library, and Jason on the bus.
So a family that likes to travel with the team.
Oh, we love road games.
Nice.
This season's pass subscription to Rogers NHL Game Center Live is free for our Share Everything customers. Standard data overages and roaming charges, blackouts, and other restrictions apply. See rogers.com/NHL.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary's home for the Flames in the National Hockey League. Weekdays on the drive home, Rob Kerr has 60 minutes of must-hear radio, 5 to 6 p.m. Get the inside stuff from Rob Kerr and the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, and other special guests. Find out what is up with the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960's Inside Hockey is for Calgary Co-op. Check out the local produce, meat, and baked goods brought up fresh from Co-op's farm team. Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We are with Calgary sports fans through thick and thin. Here's hoping we have more thick than thin coming our way. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, we don't have any news to they're all going through tests right now, so maybe the news came out, but I didn't get it yet. So there's no update.
Calgary, the boys on the Big Show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I think most concur it was a pretty exciting game last night at the Dome, but it was dampened by the fact that two Flames did not finish the game. Joe Colburn left in the second period. Conflicting, we're still waiting. It's an upper body injury. He took a shot off the helmet in the first period, and then I believe Sportsnet showed a picture of him having his wrist looked at on the bench. So trying to get to the bottom of that. There's no doubt that, you know, we know what ails Matt Stajan. Knee-to-knee with Jared Tenorti, and we were just talking out the air. This is probably the shortest conversation we're going to have. Supplementary discipline?
I don't think so either.
I think, as I said to you, I think Tenorti is just a reactionary thing. I'm sure he regrets it. I don't think he's that kind of player. It's a tough loss for the Flames. I will say Nick Kyprios tried to make a case for supplementary discipline last night, but I watched it, Pat, and I was not going, when is he going to hear from Stefan Kintel, I guess it is now, or whoever.
I felt bad for Stajan was the first.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I looked at it, I was like, man, that's just bad luck. And I guess you give him the penalty on the ice, but I don't think there was any intent there. I don't think there was any recklessness there.
Right.
I just thought it was a really unfortunate play that Stajan got the worst of. And I thought he was having his best game of the season. I thought that Glenn Cross and he were a force all night long. Yeah. Pretty much ever since those two have been reunited on a line together, they've been really, really good, both of them. It was too bad to see Stajan go down like that, for sure.
We have not heard anything yet from the Flames. Whether or not we hear something today or tomorrow remains to be seen. They don't have the game till Friday. And quite honestly, we may not hear anything because there is Devin Zetaguchi and Brian McGrattan, so there is really no need on the short term to call anybody up. I'm worried about somebody else, though, Pat, and help me, maybe I don't need to be. And I know this is a guy that we both like, and I have to get your permission to talk to him. But Michael Backlund, another optional today. Took the optional a couple of days ago. I know Peter Labardius and Derek talked to him yesterday. Not 100%, I think, is fair to say. Still kind of trying to come back from the abdominal injury that sidelined him for most of the preseason. Are we talking about a player that is going to be handled differently all year long just so he can stay in the lineup?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it's going to be all year long, but for the time being, absolutely, because there's no doubt this is still somewhat of a strain. And you know, it's too bad because he's not getting the practice time in, but you've got to manage a very important player right now. This thing is not completely behind him. This thing is not totally healed, and you wonder, like, does the word surgery start to get thrown around at some point? I don't know the extent of it. I don't know if surgery would, but you start to wonder if that starts to enter the
question,
equation.
Yeah,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, the question
is that
about
better for him and that type of stuff. Right?
We're really kind of in the dark, so we're fumbling around here. But you would hope that, and probably the best example of what we've seen has been in the CFL this year, right, with quarterbacks. You know, certain quarterbacks, Travis Lule, Darian Durant, you know, maybe putting off surgeries just to see if they can kind of rehab through it. And that he's I'm speaking of Backlund now, very important to this hockey club. Very important that he remains upright. But at the end of the day, you as a manager, you as an organization, you as a hockey operations department, and as a player and as an agent, I think you have to ask the question, what's the best route here? Are we better being whatever the number is, let's say it's 65%, you know, optimal, or you better getting it dealt with now and maybe coming back later or whenever.
And I don't know what he's playing at on the ice. Like, I don't know if he's able to go and be at his full effectiveness during a game, but then to make sure that happens, you need to manage him properly in between games. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he does feel like he can go out there and
contribute. He can't be 100%, though, if he's not practicing on a normal schedule. Can he?
No, probably not, but you can still feel like you can still be pretty effective in a game. And
well, and he has been.
He's been, even with this injury, I think he's been Calgary's best center after the first few games. After he kind of got back in the groove of things, I think he's been Calgary's best center. This is obviously something that's hampering him, and you hope that they're able to get on, not even get on top of it, but you just hope that, you know, it's able to eventually heal at some point, and you don't have to go down the long term route, and you know, maybe continuing to manage him this way is okay. And I would imagine we know the medical staff is all over this. And so,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so if this is going to allow it to heal at some point, then I think it's probably still the way that you'd want to go if you're the Flames, because you need him in the lineup whether or not he's practicing or not.
Just a cursory look, Pat, and that's all this is. So there is a risk of making a mountain out of a molehill here, but he plays, you know, in all situations. He is, you know, centering one of your top lines, yet he is not taking the bulk of faceoffs. You know, that's falling on Matt Stajan and to a lesser extent Sean Monahan as of last night. So there might be, I may be reading something into something that doesn't exist there. But I think in the past we've seen Michael Backlund taking a fair number.
But that's only recently.
I agree. I think I went back homestand is what I went back.
Because there were a couple of times before.
Earlier in the season when he was, wasn't he?
He was taking a lot.
Yeah.
For instance, there he takes.
18 against the Winnipeg Jets, against Columbus.
And is that the bulk of them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, he took 32 against the Chicago Blackhawks.
And he's not been anywhere near that number.
30 against the Nashville Predators.
He hasn't been anywhere
near. So I guess, did it flare up again, or has it been something he's been dealing with all year? I don't know.
And I just, again, the great Peter Marr, who, by the way, will be honored by the Calgary Flames on November 18th against the Anaheim Ducks. The great Peter Marr, do not try and be a doctor from 200 feet away. Mm-hmm. And I should not try and be a doctor by looking at statistics. But now, in the last couple of days, we've seen maintenance days at practice. Looking at his workload in terms of face-offs, that's been lessened. I'm worried. You know, something's going off in my head. Happy to have the Flames come and tell me I'm wrong. Happy to have Michael Backlund say, hey, somebody told me you were talking about us on the radios and you're wrong. He's just too important to this team that it's noticeable to me. And it stands out to me, and I'm worried about it.
I think it's a concern. Certainly, I think it's something to keep your eye on. I'm curious as to whether or not he practices tomorrow, because is it just a back-to-back thing? We haven't seen the Flames have 2 days off and have two practice days between games for a little while here.
Great point.
So I'm curious if Backlund's back on the ice tomorrow, because 10:30 practice, you're thinking that it won't be as long a practice as it was today because it's the day before a game. So, yeah, I'm curious as to whether or not he's able to get back on the ice. That'll tell us a lot tomorrow if he's back or not.
Yeah. Talked a little bit to Ryan Huskey yesterday. I do want to play a clip from Ryan Huskey. Maybe we'll do it a little later on. But this probably comes as no surprise. Ferland and Marcus Granlund down there getting a lot of praise for what they've done. In particular, I thought Marcus Granlund got some good coaching praise, if that makes sense, from Ryan Huskey about the things that he's done. So with Colburn going down, with Stajan going down, if the Flames, you know, need to make a call-up, I'd have to think, wouldn't you, that Marcus Granlund's going to be the top of that list?
Yeah, I would think so. And even if it wasn't outstanding results in the American League to start, I think he would probably be near the top of the list just because he was good in the preseason. Yeah. He was good in training camp. You saw him for 7 games last year. You know that he can come in, fill a role, familiar with the system, familiar with the coaching staff, all of that. So my guess would be the first guy that comes up is Granlund, and it's probably the right call because you can plug him in and have him kind of go without a huge learning curve.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even in the preseason, we were having those conversations, weren't we, about, you know, if an injury happens, would he be the guy? And I even feel from last year, Pat, because his NHL debut got sidelined by injury, we almost got robbed of the total debut. I mean, remember, this is a kid who had a shorthanded goal, came up, never, maybe the first game, but outside of that, never really looked out of place, looked like he was in step. Good pedigree, we know what he's done. Imagine that's the direction in which the Calgary Flames go. I feel terrible because I have kind of hijacked this. We have yet to talk about, as you put it earlier, the number one story of the day, and I agree with you, is the Flames have now decided to go with a designated number one, although they're, you know, again, not really wanting to use that word.
Well, we don't even know if they have. Maybe Hiller only starts on Friday and they go right back to Rommel.
So it might be just a case of more, this guy's going to get two in a row. And Jonas Hiller does get the net back against Nashville coming up on Friday. I want to ask you, I know you said you were going to ask me about this. I want to ask you, 5 games in? Was it 5 games in? Was it 4 games in? I wanted to declare before the Nashville game, right? No, before the Chicago game.
Yeah, 4 games in.
So 4 games in, I wanted to declare a number one. I was ready to declare a number one in Kari Rambl. And here we are 7 games later, and it's the other guy. It's Jonas Hiller. At the time, you were adamant there was no rush to name a number one. You felt, you know, as the plan was, just carry out the plan, continue. Was it only just because you felt like it was 10 games? Is there anything changed? Was it, you know, at that time, are you just thinking, let's get through the end of October and see who, what was the thinking behind not wanting to designate one early?
Because I hadn't seen any separation for any stretch of time. Okay. I think, I mean, we both thought at that time that Romo through the preseason and the early stages of the regular season may be slightly better than Hiller.
Right.
But now through four straight games and the last, say, four starts each, I think Hiller is significantly better than Romo. And that's not even a knock on Romo. It's just a real underlining of how good Hiller's been. Robbie, we're talking about a .975 save percentage for this guy in his last four starts. He stopped 117 of 120 shots. Like the numbers, the results, they speak for themselves now. So because of that, I don't think you declare him the number one. I don't think you say, Hiller, it's yours for the next nine games, but I think you keep riding it. I think you give him a back-to-back start. He played really well against the Habs last night in limited work. He got a shutout the night before that. So let him go against the Nashville Predators and see what happens in that game. And if he continues to play well, regardless of the result, if you see him play similar hockey, then go back to him. If he takes a step back, then it's easy to go back to Romo when you start things on the road in Montreal on Sunday. So it's still a game-to-game thing. I just think for the time being, this is the time to let a goaltender maybe be given a little bit more than one start before the other guy goes.
When do we get these?
These guys?
Yeah.
Mr. Will Nault put them up on Saturday.
Apparently. Okay.
Because I came in yesterday.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you're pointing to a calendar. I'm going, don't point to last. Oh, that's not last year's. Because up until a couple days.
It was last year's calendar.
Yeah, so okay. So we got the new calendar.
Will Nault,
okay. There we go. All right.
I've already got us up to, I've got put all the, this is what I do.
Yeah.
I
no, you get, yeah, absolutely. Am I reading this correctly? What's, you know, bizarre is the Flames don't have a back-to-back now until the end of November. 25th and 26th of November, right?
But I don't think
no, I mean, not
roll...
No, but if they were, you know, if let's say they started the road trip on a Monday, Tuesday sort of thing, that might change it. I mean, and I'm not suggesting he's going to play them all, but there isn't that natural break, right?
No, but I still don't think there's that natural number one either. I still think this is a goaltending tandem. I just think it's time for Hiller to be given a little bit more than one game at a time because he's played
that
well.
Did you play the Bob Hartley scrum?
No.
Okay, I'll play it in the 5 o'clock hour because you know how I think Bob has been all through this whole process, right? You know, he's been asked about it. Oh, no, we want to keep it going right into May and June. We'll be happy, right? And it was kind of a great question by Kristen Odland when we were talking about injuries and everything, and Kristen Odland just kind of said, oh, by the way, who's playing goal on Friday? Oh, Jonas Hiller. And it was kind of like trying to slip it in there and just kind of move on, made the decision. It'll get talked about. It'll get written about. There's no doubt about it. But I just don't see any pushback to it. You know, whether it's the de facto number one, whether this is the way it's going to be. If anything is told us, they're going to, you know, they took their time. They got to 11 games. Now they'll play somebody back-to-back, to your point. It may end after Friday. We don't know.
I think it all is dependent on how the guys play. Like, if Hiller has a bad game against Nashville on Friday and the Preds win 5-1, I think it's natural you go back to Romo in Montreal. But if Hiller plays well and it's a close game and he's one of the stories we're talking about again, or just like, yeah, another rock-solid game from Hiller, then you keep on with that groove. I think you ride this groove for a little bit if he gives you reason to.
When you're in?
Not quite, because even if he plays well and lose, I'd keep.
Yeah, and the one thing that I do, you know, I hope at some point somebody gets a chance to recover too. You know what I mean? I think that's part of the process as well. You talk about a 5-1 loss. At some point, you need to have the ability to get the net back and see if you can bounce back. Right?
Again, I think that I don't think that there is any. To be honest with you, I don't think there's a set plan anymore. I think there was a plan to begin with as to how they wanted to utilize their goaltenders. Now I think it's a letter buck type thing.
And
play well and you're in is kind of the way I look at it. You play well if you're Jonas Hiller because you're in a groove right now, then you probably get to keep on doing that until maybe you start to see some signs of regression.
And no worry about Kari Rammel. I have no worries about Kari Rammel. He saw the same movie last year and ended up winning the battle. Not to say he's going to win it, but he knows what it is to compete. We'll take a break when we come back. Fantastic theater. Terrific drama. Maybe. Game 7, yes. But has it been fantastic? We'll talk about that around the corner. We have the World Series for you tonight at 6 o'clock, San Francisco and Kansas City. If baseball's not your thing, but hockey is, don't forget our voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, tonight. We'll be doing special radio, 94.7, with Jalal. as it's a Punjabi hockey broadcast. Very excited about this. Kelly Kirch did it earlier about a month ago, and now Derek tonight will be joining them tonight. So over on 94.7 FM, you can check out Derek Wills as he gets out and spreads the good word about the great game of hockey to a new audience. Pretty cool. Take a break and come back about the World Series next. Sportsnet 960, a fan.
Home for Boomer and Warner in the morning. Jim Rome, Hockey Central, The Big Show, and tons of play-by-play. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calgary's team.
Verify ready to go for one.
Canada's team. Ignition. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, brings you every game all season with our play-by-play team of Derek Wills and Peter Loubardius.
Halloween hockey on Friday night. Flames and Predators pregame with Pat Steinberg goes at 6. Play-by-play goes at 7 with Derek and Lubo. Flames in Nashville right here.
On air every time the Flames hit the ice. This is Calgary Flames Radio. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you by A Little More Interesting and K&H Dental Care.
Calling all men who give a damn. If you knew that your small personal donation could be multiplied by 100 to make a large positive impact in your community, would you help? Join Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Pledge your support to an amazing initiative that does just that. 100 Men Who Give a Damn brings together 100 or more guys like you who care about local community causes and want to help. All it takes is 1 hour of your time and $100 four times a year to make a donation of over $10,000 to a local charity you vote on. For all the details and to sign up, visit 100mencalgary.com. Local men, local impact. Proudly supported by Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
At Numeris, we've spent the last 70 years helping Canadians make their radio better. We do it by giving listeners the chance to tell us what they're listening to. You may not realize it, but your choices and stations do matter, particularly when you take part in a Numeris survey. So when we call you at home or on mobile, remember our name and say yes to being part of our survey. You'll be shaping the future of radio and television. Visit numeris.ca to learn more. Numeris. Audiences count.
Hey, Calgary. Looking to pick up some great seats for a must-see game or concert? Then get to StubHub, where you'll find the seats you want, even at the last minute, and even if the event is sold out. Can't make it to the game? No problem. At StubHub, it's easy to sell your tickets to another fan. From hockey and football games to concerts, never miss out again. So head to StubHub, see what's happening in Calgary this week, and find the seats you want today. StubHub, the way ticket buying should be.
StubHub!
At Okotoks Honda, we do things differently. Just ask hockey player Brian McGrattan.
Just like the Saddle Dome is the destination for hockey games, Okotoks Honda is the destination for the best deals on Honda Civics in Southern Alberta. Get the Honda Civic, Canada's number one selling vehicle, fully customized for you with deals that'll make you cheer. Only at Okotoks Honda.
Discover the difference at Okotoks Honda. Only 10 minutes south of Calgary or online at OkotoksHonda.com.
I'm Ron McLean, inviting you to join us for Rogers Hometown Hockey. Our national tour sets up in 25 communities across Canada. Outdoor weekend festivals packed with hockey activities and celebration. Then we host a national show live from the community for a new Sunday night NHL game on City. Rogers Hometown Hockey. Hear the stories. Feel the passion. Celebrate the game. Go to hometownhockey.com for more details.
32 teams.
Touchdown!
It's a touchdown!
Touchdown!
Several hundred highly motivated athletes.
And it's a touchdown!
All competing yard for yard for the NFL's ultimate prize. It's Bud Light NFL Football.
And he's in!
Bud Light NFL Football is brought to you by Pinty's Delicious Foods, Papa John's, Ramada Worldwide, OK Tire, and Bud Light. The best insiders, the breaking sports news when it happens, tons of play-by-play. Calgary, this is your sports radio. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
When you're a little kid in the backyard, you always, you know, think of World Series games and, you know, hitting home runs to you know, win a, you know, Game 7 in the World Series or pitching in a big game, you know, Game 7 in the World Series. So, you know, I'm no different than anybody else.
Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Tim Hudson, gets the ball tonight for the San Francisco Giants. But the big question is, how long until we see Madison Bumgarner? We are going to see Madison Bumgarner tonight, aren't we, Pat?
I think for the Giants? I think at some point we'll see him. I don't know at what point or when Bruce Bochy makes that decision. But, yeah, I think we'll see him. He's not going to start.
No.
And if the Giants can get out to a lead, I think Bumgarner comes. Like for instance, say Tim Hudson and the Giants are up 3-0 heading into the fifth inning. You might see Bumgarner come in then somewhere. Like, do I see him coming in the second inning? Maybe not. But do I see him coming in to potentially pitch half a game? Yeah, I could see that.
He's intimidating now, isn't he? Don't you think that he has? I mean, he's been the best pitcher in the postseason. He certainly dominated the Kansas City Royals. The thought of him coming to the mound in a game like this has to be somewhat intimidating for the Royals, doesn't it?
I think so, because I think that he might be in their head a little bit. I mean, he four-hit him in Game 5 of the series.
Yeah.
So because of that, I think that there absolutely is a potential psychological edge that goes along with it, too. So, yeah, I'm curious as to how Bruce Bochy uses that. And, I mean, if the Royals get out to a lead, maybe we don't see Bumgarner in the early stages after all.
Yeah.
Because that there would be not as much point. You might think about managing things differently. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. But, yeah, I think there's a good chance we see him.
It's the last baseball game.
Exactly.
I mean, this is...
You have no worries about pitch counts or rotations or anything. You throw everything into Game 7.
Yeah, this is all about winning tonight. It is a Game 7, but it's a little bit bizarre how we've gotten here with such little drama. We talked yesterday. It's been a couple of games. There's been a couple of really close games. That was not close yesterday. That was an absolute crap kicking. I'm not sure how else you describe it, other than being up in the press box and, hey, what's the score in the baseball? Oh.
7-0? 8-0? Wow. 10-0?
Wow, that one got away on him, didn't it?
It really did, and it's kind of the way this series has gone. There's only been one close game.
I think
Game 3 was a close one. Other than that, it's been five runs or seven runs, or last night 10 runs that ends up deciding it. And so the games themselves haven't had a ton of drama. The drama has been in the game-to-game swings, in that, okay, Game 6, Kansas City needs to win. Emphatically, they win.
Yep.
And now you go into Game 7, and their crowd and that atmosphere, all of that, it's cool that we've gotten to Game 7. It's cool that this thing's going the distance. And I think there's a pretty good chance we'll get some drama tonight.
Is Kansas City a team of destiny?
I don't know. Ask me tomorrow. Let's see what happens tonight.
I just remember yesterday we were reading all those, you know, historicals, you know, the last 8 of the last 10 teams that, you know, came back home after trailing 3-2, won Game 6, won Game 7, and, you know, the Giants, their road record in Game 6. Is all these numbers that seem to align against San Francisco. Well, it's a testament to the recent history of the game, or in some cases, the long-term history of the game. But it sure seemed to come to fruition last night. In Kansas City, as we talked about, you know, right from the get-go, nobody was picking Kansas City back at July or anything like that. They became kind of the darling. They play that play-in game, and the play-in game itself is legendary. You were talking yesterday about, you know, how regardless of the outcome, there will always be this strong memory for you of what the Kansas City Royals did in 2014. I think this only cements it, quite honestly.
I agree. I got distracted by somebody pointing at us from here's the zoo animals.
It's an element of the zoo, all right.
I agree. I think, and I there's no doubt if Kansas City wins this game, it kind of, you know,
it'd be very memorable.
It cements the 2014 postseason. Absolutely, especially because they were down 3-2. They go back to Kansas City, they win. And you know what? If there's some drama in this game, if this is similar to the first two games they played against the Angels, or if this is similar to that game against Oakland.
Can you imagine if this goes to extra innings?
And I could see it happening, just because that's Kansas City has shown that they can win that way. And I don't know, this series has been short on drama, so I think we might have a game where it kind of feels like everything is on the line. Like, I would be surprised if one team is comfortably leading after the seventh inning stretch. I'd be surprised.
Why?
Just because it's a game seven.
And okay.
That's the only reason. Every other piece of evidence would lead you to believe that, one team probably will have it wrapped up in the seventh inning. But I'm hoping that we're talking about a close game as we head to the latter innings.
Well, if Kansas City wins, I think they might become kind of a rallying cry for teams beyond just baseball, right? For small market teams or, teams with a lack of success that, we were talking yesterday about some of the examples we have of hockey. Well, most of the examples, those teams don't win. Calgary didn't win, Edmonton didn't win, Ottawa didn't win, Carolina won, I guess. That's a small market. There'd be those who would argue that Tampa Bay in 2004 was, kind of came out of the blue. But I think much in the same way of people look at that Bo Sox team in I think it was 04 that, was down 3-0 to the Yankees, came back, and it ended up winning the World Series. And that one transcends the sport a little bit. I think Kansas City winning could transcend the sport a bit.
I do, too, because it would be something that is so unexpected. I'm trying to think the last time that something that unexpected happened. Can you think in Major League Baseball?
In Major League Baseball?
Because Tampa got to the World Series, but they got beat by Philadelphia.
The Twins back in the 90s?
Would the Blue Jays back in the 90s? I don't know.
Not the second go-round.
No, not the second go-round.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I think the Blue Jays were a little bit more of a powerhouse. I think they were a little bit more – there was an ascension there. There's no ascension here, right? They just – came up and grabbed it. What about the Fish? What about the Marlins?
Maybe both Marlins years, 97 and 103 when they won again.
Yeah, and then bang, they're blown up, right? Wayne Huizenga says enough of this stuff. I don't know.
I'm just taking a look at it right now. And maybe the Red Sox when they broke the curse just because of the way they did it. But after they did it, It wasn't even close. Like after they won that, after they got past the Yankees and came back in 03, they just rolled through and they swept the Cardinals, right?
Yeah. You're kind of looking at the entire run rather than just the victory itself. And I think that's where you look at, say the Marlins or, the Diamondbacks or whatever. I mean,
those two Marlins years were pretty – I mean, the first Marlins year, if you remember, they loaded up with everybody. Gary Sheffield, Bobby Bonilla, had a very stacked team. That second Marlins year might have been because they beat the Yankees, if you remember.
Which was the Bartman year?
The Bartman year was 97.
Josh might know.
Was it 97, Josh, when they were playing the Marlins in the NLCS? No, it wouldn't have been because Moises Alou was on the Marlins when they won.
That was 2003 in 97. When that happened.
2003?
It was 2003.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for bringing it up, though.
What? Did he buy his season tickets? I forgot to ask.
Hey, they're due. They're due to get to the World Series.
They
can't get Bartman twice.
Well, that's why he's buying season tickets.
Exactly, because they're due. They're due
to
get to a World Series.
Due.
We haven't had a World Series. We had a World Series go to seven when the Cardinals beat the Rangers in 2011, and before that, the last World Series that went to seven was when the Angels beat Barry Bonds and the San Francisco Giants in 2002.
Okay.
So haven't been a lot of seven-game World Series in recent memory. There's been a whole lot of four and five-game World Series that have kind of been more recent.
Well, we'll have it for you tonight, just after the end of this program, right at 6 o'clock. We'll take you off to Kansas City, as it will be Tim Hudson going for the Giants. Who's going for are they going to throw Shields again? What are they going to do?
Jeremy Guthrie.
Guthrie
is
goes.
Going to get the start for the Kansas City Royals tonight.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hudson's old.
39, the oldest pitcher to ever start a World Series game.
He's one of the Moneyball guys, too, isn't he?
Yeah, well, but...
Because wasn't he in Oakland at that time?
But he wasn't in the movie.
No, that's the one great missing ingredient of Moneyball.
Because was it Mark Mulder and Tim Hudson and that group of pitchers? They were all
there was
so
one,
instrumental.
There was one more in there, too.
Barry Zito?
Yes,
yeah.
Barry Zito.
So
they were
the three, they were like the most
somehow,
important part of it.
But somehow never made it into the film.
Hattieburg's there and David Justice is there.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they were important.
Remember those pitchers that were really, really good?
And you know who makes a very nice appearance in the movie is former Blue Jays closer Billy Koch, who remember he's the guy in the when they break the record for the win streak.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy who blows the save and goes nuts in the dugout and throws the water bottle around it.
Right. So there at least was some representation of a pitcher in there.
Yeah, they didn't really pitch. Well, and they had the submarine guy, the sidearm.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Again,
that's
don't true. Think he was as important as
not
Hudson
quite
and Zito.
As Zito and no, maybe not. I feel bad for those guys. Oh, well, somehow they'll survive. Won't they?
Well, and I mean, if you've seen the movie and read the book, and then have gone, because the book and the movie, there's a lot of things that go well together, and they're different. But
though.
I mean, Jonah Hill's character isn't a real person,
yeah.
And none of that stuff actually. A lot of the stuff as to how he became a part of the organization never happened. They didn't include the pitchers. Art Howe was not a jackass who was against it.
No, I met Art Howe. The first year, the Vipers. Art Howe was in Sioux City. His son.
What, the one road trip you did?
Yeah, the one road trip I did. Art Howe's kid was playing third base for Sioux City. So I had a great conversation with Art Howe for about an hour. And yeah, he was not at all like the character was portrayed in the movie.
Yeah.
The
late Philip Seymour Hoffman played him very well.
Yeah.
But it was a little different.
I
think Art Howe said that, you know, every movie needs a villain, so I'm okay with them making me a villain, I guess, because he wasn't really that type of villain. He was very much in support of the whole thing.
What do they call that? Liberties or license?
Artistic license.
Artistic license. I believe there was some artistic license taken there, no doubt about it. The Calgary Flames back in action on Friday. They'll host the Nashville Predators. If you want to attend, how about this? SportCheck Zone tickets are available at Calgary SportCheck stores for only $30 a piece. That's a pretty good deal. Fan club members can win a pair of tickets to see Calgary in the SportCheck Zone. Visit sportsnet.ca/960 to enter. But again, if you're looking for Flames tickets, hard to get them last night, probably be able to get them for Nashville.
Yeah.
Probably. And then the team goes away again.
Yeah, you don't know. There's not another home game until November 13th Friday.
Yeah, just keep that
in mind. The season of fits and starts continues. Six-game road. Was it six games on the road? Yeah, six-game road.